Welcome to Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Travis. Travis, how's it going?
Pretty good, Adam, even though our captain and leader of our fearless team, the Maple Leafs, is out for a few weeks with a broken finger. I think I'm going to forge on for this podcast.
We have to do it because sometimes injuries happen and you got to rise to the occasion, so here we are. But we're not talking Leafs tonight. We did that last night. As the title of the podcast suggests, we're talking some DC. And as anybody who follows DC on TV knows, the Arrowverse is back in mostly full steam, with the exceptions of Legends, which is starting, I believe, it actually 100% starts in January of next year.
I think the crossover is the first episode.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the crossover because all roads are leading to Crisis on Infinite Earths, at least to start the Arrowverse seasons. Travis is a big fan of Arrow, the show that started off the Arrowverse. So I thought, who better to review the pilot with in terms of my team of co-hosts than Travis? So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to review the season premiere, the season 8 episode premiere of Arrow.
Homage to the pilot.
Right, yeah, exactly. And maybe one day when Arrow has, you know, done its run, maybe we'll go back and review seasons. And we can do that because we weren't doing that when you came aboard, and I wasn't doing that with my former co-host. So maybe that's something we could do once Arrow's run its course, and I think that'd be a fun to do, like a whole season retrospective kind of thing.
That'd be awesome. I thought you'd be more scarred for life after doing a few seasons of Smallville with.
Me and Steven and Ryan, we all have a way of doing season reviews that is not going to take four and a half hours. No. So it can be done, and it can be done painless. And so that's what we'll endeavor to do when the time comes to do that. But before we talk about the final season premiere of Arrow, we have a bit of news that relates to Arrow, and that is that while Stephen Amell will hang up the hood and the bow, as well as his arrows, at the end of the season, the world of Star City will live on, hopefully, because the CW, I was almost going to call it the WB, I was going to go back in time there, but the CW has put into development how can I phrase this? For now, I'll call it a quasi Birds of Prey TV series, and it's going to feature Mia Smoke, or as I like to think of her, Mia Queen, who is the daughter of Oliver Queen, aka Green Arrow, and Felicity Smoke. In my opinion, it's the best thing to come out of that Felicity mess. But in addition to her, we have Katie Cassidy returning as Laurel Lance, aka Black Canary. We also have Juliana Harkavy as Dinah Drake, also aka Black Canary. The way that the spinoff is going to work is they're going to have a backdoor pilot first that is going to be during the season of...
The eighth episode.
Is it the eighth episode?
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. Very good. I'm glad you clarified that. So there you go. It's going to be the eighth out of the 10 episodes of Arrow. And it's going to give us a flavor of what we can expect, and hopefully it does well, and they will then green light the whole thing to series. Some thoughts. And now, here's where the confusing part comes in, Travis. When I was reading the description of the series, the proposed series, Some outlets indicated that it would be set in 2040. Other outlets said it hadn't been confirmed or denied whether it was going to be set in 2040. So I have two questions for you. What's your take on the announcement of this potential spinoff? And do you think it will be set in 2040? Or do you think it'll be somehow set in present day?
I'll answer your second question first and tell you that there is no chance it's being set in 2040. I can promise you that now. I think that they're just doing this to keep out the like mystery of Mia ending up in the present day.
Okay.
I think that's what the Mandler is going to do. The Mandler, just spoiler alert for people like who are crazy Arrow fans like myself, we watched the last bit of that conversation so many times that I picked apart what the Mandler said. He said to Felicity that your daughter is going to be very important for the Earth going forward, like in the future.
Yeah.
So I really think that that's what's going to happen. We have seen some set photos of the crisis of Oliver next to Mia, both of them wearing Green Arrow outfits. Mm-hmm. My thought is that Oliver's going to have to sacrifice himself, and she's going to take over Green Arrow in the present day. And I am crazy excited for this Birds of Prey thing. First off, I enjoy most of the Oliver Felicity.
Yeah, you and I differ on that, but that's okay.
But no, yeah, I think that your gripes, and I'm with you on this, are with the writers, because that relationship wouldn't have been needed if they would have done the Laurel Lance character right from the start.
That's exactly what. Yeah.
But we get that now because Black Siren, minus her killing, the way she's trained, the way she fights, the way she handles herself, the way she doesn't depend on a man, that's all what I remember from reading about Black Canary. That's perfectly what I wanted when I first watched this show, and why I got so excited for Sarah in season two. I think that this is the perfect match, because same thing with Dinah came in badass, and that's why I really enjoyed Dinah. I think the same thing with you. I think that's why you really enjoyed Dinah, was that she came in badass, had her powers. It was really cool. So I think that this, like you shared, Mark Guggenheim had a picture of like Arrow and Two Canaries, and you said that would be a good name for the show, and I agree with that. And I like that picture, just picture Mia there.
It was DC Comics. What it was a DC Comics art. It was made like a comic cover. And the tweet was something along the lines of, here's a glimpse into the future of Star City. And the actual comic title was Green Arrow and the Canaries. And look, I think it's a great title. Here's why. Because this series is called Arrow. Oliver's graduated to the Green Arrow now, but they're not going to change the name of the show. However, I think Mia adopting and really, you know, taking up the mantle of Green Arrow is, you know, a passing of the torch. It's a progression of character, and I think it just fits. And man, do I want to see her in that green outfit.
Oh, same. I don't look at, mute your words on Twitter, or you will see it. Trust me.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say was, I think that even then, if you have a season or two of the show and it starts to lose viewers a bit, you can always do the Quiver storyline from Kevin Smith to bring Stephen Amell back, because I'm just going to go out on a wild limb and say that the wrestling show he makes is not going to be super as long as the Arrow show.
No, definitely. And I think you can get him to come back at least for...
Oh, he said he's already open to come back. Yeah.
I don't think it'll be a full-time deal. But look, the cool thing about Arrow is that the ratings have stayed consistent. And if it weren't for Stephen Amell wanting to spend more time at home with his family, I don't think the CW would be ending it. So to me, I'm going to knock on wood and cross fingers, but I think this show is pretty much, you know, a slam dunk for going forward. I think the backdoor pilot aspect is just a formality. Personally, it's just my feeling on it, because I think CW wants to continue the world of Star City, and being such a female empowerment network that they are, this show seems like a slam dunk.
Well, Adam, you got history on your side. Arrow, backdoor pilot for Flash, picked up immediately to series before, actually before the backdoor pilot, when he became Flash, they cut that all out after his guest appearance. That's all it took. Arrow and Flash is the second crossover that introduced the whole freaking show, Legends. Yeah. That's what they got from the villains of those two shows. Yeah. It's crazy. It's just, like you said, they're going to keep this on. People, one thing I got to say to listeners is if you see a 1.2 or a 0.6 or a 0.8 for your viewers on the ratings, that doesn't mean much. In 2018, Flash, Arrow, and Legends were all in the top 10 of pirated shows.
Right, and we're not advocating piracy.
No, but like me and you can't get on CWC tomorrow and watch the most recent episode of Arrow because it's just blocked out for us living in Canada. So that's just other numbers for people that can't access the show. Just to let you know that those are still strong shows. It's just the way people consume TV now is completely different, and the way that the ratings have not caught up to that yet.
And for the CW, those numbers are solid.
I don't know any CW app. I don't know any numbers for that. So that's something that I would be interested to see.
Right. But, and just for my two cents about the time period, I'd be okay if it was set in 2040, personally.
However,
I agree with you. Something's going to happen in Crisis that's going to allow them to... something's going to happen to bring her forward into the present. And look, from everybody who listens to this show knows about my multiverse wives list. And look, those two look great in even older up makeup. But why would you old them up if you don't have to? And so I think that's another reason why they're going to keep him in the present. And spoilers for Steven, who's probably listening to this. All three of these ladies are on my list. I just want to throw that out there.
At this point, can't we just ask who's not on your list?
I think that was I'm actually now at a point where I've started writing the list, and I got to tell you, it's very hard. I know what they're going through on this Crisis crossover because it's very difficult. I'm having a crisis at all. I'm stoked about this show. I love Arrow as a show, even though, you know, I've sometimes voiced my displeasure about certain things, but overall I love it. And so the fact that the world is continuing is a plus for me, and I just can't wait. And one of the reasons I can't wait is because of how the Arrow season 8 premiere has set things up. So let's go into that, shall we, Travis?
Let's do that.
Out of all the Arrowverse shows so far that premiered this season, I want to say that in one episode, Arrow has the most to do with Crisis so far, the most impact towards Crisis. We talked about it off air. One of the things I loved was the homage to the series premiere and just how they were able to match up shots from the series premiere to the season 8 premiere. There's one big difference. You know the scene where he is scaling the mountain of Lian Yu?
Yeah.
And then he shoots and he gets the boat and blah, 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 blah. We see at the camp, in the premiere, we saw an arrow through the eye of a Deathstroke mask. Well, in the season 8 premiere, we see the same arrow through the eye of a Batman cow, which when I saw it, Travis, because I didn't see the clip online that was released earlier, I tried to stay away from that stuff. So when I saw it, I had to double back and rewind and pause because I was like, wait, is that what I think it is? And sure enough, it was what I thought it was. And right then and there, I knew, okay, this is a different Earth or what have you. And sure enough, we are on a different Earth. and it's Earth 2. But what did you, when you saw that opening shot, what was the first thing that ran through your mind?
Pilot feelings. I was listening to the Mariners dubbing over, which Oliver did it in the pilot. I heard him say that there are people that are greater than heroes, but they're called paragons. So I don't know what that's going to have. That's definitely going to come back into play. So I was thinking about that, and then seeing the mask, I was like, holy crap. But I pretty early on thought this was Earth 2, Adam, not going to lie. Yeah. So I just initially thought maybe Robert Queen killed whoever was using that Batman mask. Maybe I thought Batman first, but later on in the episode, we hear a Bruce Wayne reference. So maybe he is not even Batman on this Earth.
That's an interesting theory. Speaking of being on a different Earth, why don't you tell us what, like, some of the differences that were on that this Earth had from Earth 1 and the pilot?
Well, it didn't have Oliver. Oliver died in before him and his father made it to Lian Yu. He died on the Queen's Gambit or on the boat. Life raft. I'm not exactly sure. That was given in the Flash season 2, I want to say, when they went to Earth 2.
Right.
So Robert Queen was the Arrow the last time we knew Earth 2. That Earth is also home to the first Harrison Wells in season 2 of the Flash. Mm-hmm. It's home to Jesse Quick as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a multitude of people here. And just another thing. I'm trying to think what else. Black Siren is from Earth 2 as well. Both of them are from Earth 2.
But, you know, Black Siren is now...
Black Canary. She's redeemed and back in her own Earth. Mm-hmm. And she's basically the reason that the general audience finds out that we're on Earth 2. But yes. the other big difference is Thea is dead here. She died of overdosing on Vertigo, which in the first season of Arrow, Oliver puts a shutdown on that, stops her from doing it. And Tommy even mentions in this when he has him handcuffed, like you said, it paid homage to the pilot. I also thought it paid homage to the whole season 1.
Yes, I agree.
He says, I think Thea wouldn't have died if you were here, which backs up on Earth 1, he stops it. He makes sure she doesn't die. Mm-hmm. So these events don't happen. So I thought that was awesome. But that's all the info on Earth 2 that I have. It's home to Barry and Iris, the doppelgangers we've seen in the second season of Flash.
Yeah, that was a great, the whole drug overdose was a great callback to Earth 2. But I even like when you see the Queen Mansion, when they pull up to the Queen Mansion, when he enters, everything is exactly the same, and it just gave me, it felt like I was transported back in time, 7 years ago.
I want to give Steve and Amell some props too, because when he hugs Tommy in that scene that you're talking about, like when he first goes up to there, like the look he puts on his face of like joy and pain, you can see it clear as day. Like only him, only he can see it to the camera. Everyone else's face is turned away from it. So I just want to give him some props. Those little things were very good for him, just the way that he was feeling going through that. I thought that he showed it quite well. Just where he's come from since the pilot, the actor alone, is pretty astonishing.
Oh, most definitely. And the stuff with Tommy was emotional when he first sees Tommy again. But just him reuniting with his mother.
Yes, they've always had a special relationship.
And then again at the end, when he has to say goodbye to his mother, because he knows he's going home. She thinks he's going back to the mansion. But when he says goodbye to her and hugs her, and you could see the emotion coming off of Stephen Amell, that got me emotional. Like, I was almost tearing up.
It got me, buddy. That, like, he also had to see her die yet again. We'll get into spoilers. We'll get into that ending in a little bit. But one thing I also wanted to say is I hope everyone here can find a friend, find a buddy that is as good of a buddy as Diggle is for Oliver. Because I freaking loved that, Adam. I thought it was Earth 2 Diggle.
So did I.
And then when he went to escape and the smirky look on Diggle's face was just awesome. It was like, yeah, you got me with that before. And loved it.
Right, that was, you're right, I fell for it too. I thought it was Earth 2 Diggle as well. And then the part where he tries to get away from Diggle, even after he realizes which Diggle it is, and you know, he puts him to sleep in a sleeper hold, and he's like, you always fall for that. I thought that was a funny nod to their training together and stuff like that. One of the cool things is that the episode plays on a theory that I remember a lot of fans having at one point of season one. I remember there were a lot of fans that at one point thought that Tommy was going to be revealed to be the Black Archer, the Dark Archer. Remember back in season one, people were thinking that?
I wasn't even at any of the anything back then. I was just watching the show as a fan, and I didn't think that he was initially. I thought he was too wishy-washy, but after I seen him take charge of his life and Malcolm was revealed, I thought that eventually we would see him take over the mantle.
Right.
So just the ending for season one really threw me for a loop. I thought we would see him in like season two or season three become the main villain.
Yeah.
So that's still the same thing. I was shocked when he died at the end of season one.
Right. But in this, they kind of gave us what we thought we were going to get in actual season one, because in the season 8 premiere, it's revealed that Tommy Merlin is the Dark Archer, and he's the one planning for and executing the Undertaking.
Malcolm was a little wimp.
Yeah, he was.
Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
Right, yeah. And I loved the fight choreography in this.
James Bamford directed this, my friend, and he's a master of the one shot. He's been around since season one, and he's grown into a really talented director. And like you said, his fight stuff, the arrow on arrow fight.
Oh,
arrow,
yeah, that versus was amazing.
Arrow versus Dark Archer was fantastic. It just all so well choreographed.
And by the way, I'm just going to say this because I have to, because the topic's come up recently on social media. But the fighting in Arrow Season 8 premiere was better than the fighting in The Dark Knight Rises. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, that's a fact.
Yeah. Well, but I really like the Arrow versus Arrow fight. And then the, obviously, Arrow / Oliver versus Dark Archer fight. Were you shocked when it was revealed that the Arrow of this... the current Arrow of Earth 2 is Adrian Chase?
No, I wish I was, but from watching the Season 8 trailer like 50 times, I kind of had a feeling that it was him when he was standing over the green light, which we see is the Dwarf Star, the engine with the Dwarf Star in it. But I could see the suit, so I figured it was him.
Okay.
And immediately when I seen his mouth, I knew who that was. So the reveal of the Holland Off didn't get me at all, but I still just love the character, and his interactions with Oliver throughout this episode were really funny, because Oliver first was taken aback by it being Adrian Chase, but then after a while you could see him getting some good digs in, saying like, well, I guess I'm 10 steps ahead of you, taking his line, Adrian Chase's line from season 5, and using it against him.
Yeah, I
thought that was fantastic.
And I also liked the part about how one of my favorite things was the fact that when they go to Earth 2 bunker, you know, it's got the Black Canary symbol, and Laurel is really the person in charge.
Yeah, it really gave her redemption arc even more of a finale, to be honest with you, Adam. Like, it showed that when she went back to Earth 2, she didn't fall back into any. She went to be a hero that Earth 2 needed, and I thought that was awesome as well. One other thing I want to point out is she had a very badass moment of saving Oliver and showing off her canariness. I thought that was all fantastic, just the way it portrayed her, and that's how, like I said before, that's how I always wanted to see her. And the action between all four of them when they went into that building. I got to ask you something now before I even get into that. Do you think there was an outrageous amount of green light around Diggle in this episode when he was suited up?
You know, I noticed that, and even I never noticed this before, Travis. I don't know why, but his suit has quite a bit of green in it.
That was added this season, I think.
Oh, okay, Adam, all right. Okay.
I think so you're given a pat. You didn't miss it, I think. Added this season, and there seems to be like a green light, a green sight light comes from his gun.
All right. So here's what they better do, because now they're getting me excited. So I'm going to call for it now, and somebody over there at the CW or HBO Max or wherever the hell you want to put this show on, I don't really care. I just want it. Can, first of all, I want to see a version of some Earth version of Diggle as Green Lantern. I think if we don't get that, it's going to be a crying shame. Okay. And then from that appearance of whatever Earth Diggle is Green Lantern, I want, and don't tell me it can't be done because Krypton was done, damn it. So this can be done by somebody. I want a John Stewart or John Diggle / Stewart, because that's his stepfather's name. Green Lantern show. And I don't care if you do it on the CW. I don't care if you do it on HBO Max. I don't care if you do it on Sci-Fi. I don't care if you do it on pay-per-view. Just do it somewhere, damn it, because I want it, and it can be done. And while I'm waiting for the movie, I want a show.
I would support that 100%. I would support that. But you know what they're like? They put the kibosh on Suicide Squad in this show because... Yeah. And it was part of the reason why the movie was greenlit, because of how popular the episode was on this show. So it just goes to show you that even though it has a good thing here, I hope that one day they don't care. I hope that one day there'll be a Batman show of year one on HBO and a Batman and the third movie of Matt Reeves' trilogy on coming out for the DCU. And well, everybody would be okay with that.
Here's the thing, though. They seem to be okay with certain characters.
Yeah.
You know, having both a movie and a TV show. So maybe Green Lantern is one of those characters.
Let's hope so. I would love to see John Diggle's Green Lantern.
And besides, Diggle is different enough that he's not going to appear in the movies. So why not do it? My opinion. You know? So,
I agree.
But we better get it in crisis because of what Earth 90 Flash said. So get on that, CW. I'm waiting for that reveal.
I want to commend Colin Donald too for Tommy, because when he had Oliver up, very reminiscent of the second last episode and no, the season finale of Arrow in the first season, Malcolm Merlin's interrogating him, but he still uses some of his father's mannerisms, like when he's having an attack with Malcolm, he shouts at him like a very like. They deserve to die, all of them. He does the same kind of thing here. He uses his father's mannerisms a couple times from the finale pilot. I know he must have went back and watched it, and I just give him props because that's going the extra mile, especially for somebody that like he's moved on and has a successful career outside the show, and to come back to jump fully into this character and to go big or go home. I just got to commend the actor. You can tell he really enjoyed his one season on the show.
Yeah, and the cool thing was, it felt like he didn't skip a beat, at least to me, anyway. You know, like, yeah, he hadn't lost a step. He just fit right back in. And yes, they fought, and it was cool to see them fight, but you know what was even cooler? Was the fact that Oliver was able to appeal to this version of Tommy on an emotional level and was able to stop him. Tommy says to Oliver. Just so our listeners know, why did the monitor want Oliver to get the Dwarf Star technology?
It was not revealed yet. He just he just said he Oliver kind of asked why
something to do said, with stopping with stopping.
Well, he just said that I asked should be alone good enough reason. Like the reason that, like just that he asked for it should be good enough reason. And I just sent you a line, a picture was in the Flash, and. This, I think the air dates are very important. I'd watch The Flash before Arrow all the time because they're both geared towards crisis and around the same night. We missed this. I missed this watching The Flash, but what's his name? Jay Garrick has a map of the multiverse of the Earths, and there's an arrow pointing to Earth 2, and it says Nick's antimatter appearance.
Right.
So that was right there under our noses, and I missed it because that's what I want to get into with you.
Yes, this is where we're going next. Yeah,
the big reveal is that Earth 2 is fully destroyed, or that's my opinion. Earth 2 is gone.
Well, that's what it looks like, right?
I mean,
as Oliver's leaving, you see things start to disintegrate and explode. Moira is a casualty. Tommy is a well, pretty much everybody that was in the police station. It looks like they were a casualty, and Oliver escapes with Laurel and Diggle through the wormhole.
Yeah, well, the breach.
The breach.
The contraption he got from Sister.
That's the word I was looking for. Breach. Thank you.
Yeah.
First of all, the way that looked visually as a special effect was really, really well done.
Yeah, agree.
I love that, and it was. Watching it was terrifying. Like, imagine what I think the scene did really well was put you in the chaotic perspective of not only Team Arrow or this version of Team Arrow watching it, but also of the people being, you know, destroyed by it. So you really got the feeling of both sides.
Also, you got a feeling of how quick this happens because Black Canary comes in and says, the city is under attack. And Diggle says, by who? And then the antimatter just starts coming into the building. And I'm just going to say, we got our first mention of antimatter in the first episode of Supergirl with her ship that used antimatter to power it. Then in The Flash, he gets hurt by some antimatter. And we see a big buildup of antimatter at December 10th, which is the day The Flash is supposed to die. So all these things are connected, and I love it. I especially love to have much to Flash and Arrow are geared towards crisis.
Yeah.
And this blew me away. Black, as of that right now, Black Canary is the only survivor of Earth 2. Although I'm pretty sure Jesse Quick was gone to Earth 3 to replace the Flash, Jay Garrick there.
Yeah.
So she still could be alive.
And the cool thing is that, Jesse Quick, the actress who plays Jesse Quick, is on another show. So I doubt we'll see her. And I do watch that show because she's on it, by the way. It's going to be interesting to see apparently we're going to see the fallout of Earth 2 next week somehow. Like what's happened on Earth 2 next week. So that'll be interesting. But Travis, I got to tell you. For my money, I think this was the best DCCW premiere this season. And not only that, it very well might be the best season premiere of Arrow this season.
I'm going to have to agree with most of what you said there. I have a hard time putting it above the pilot just because of how much when he killed those guys, how much that blew me away compared to Smallville.
Right.
But I still think it's the best premiere easily of the shows. And I think that it may have been the best premiere of any of the DC shows ever. DCCW shows.
Yeah.
I think just thinking back quickly to some of the Flash ones, some of the Supergirl ones, some of the Legend ones. Nope, I don't think that there's anything that's as good as this episode right here. This premiere is It gets a 10 out of 10 for me, and it's not even a question.
Well, I was going to ask you to rate it, so you just did.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, honestly, look, I can't even argue with that. I can't even.
There's literally nothing I would change. I would have wanted to see a shot of maybe Oliver going to visit Robert Queen in jail if he's still alive. But that's really connecting it deep, and maybe they didn't have the time. I wouldn't want to lose anything else, so I still think that this episode is...
Yeah, there's literally nothing that bothered me in this episode. And by the way, I just got to point this out. why am I blanking? Black Canary, Laurel, her costume in this was very reminiscent of her suit from the New 52.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think... Ryan Huseman, one of our co-hosts, will appreciate that as well. And look, I'd love to see Katie Cassidy in fishnets as much as the next guy. But let's be realistic. They shoot in Vancouver. It's bloody cold. They weren't going to do that. And this is the next best thing.
The suit looked ridiculous before anyway, especially the fourth season when she died. It looked like something she was going to, like a bandage place, to be honest.
If that's what you're into, that's cool.
But that and the nightstick, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really surprised that you're the one that died. I'm really blown away. Mm-hmm. All the miraculous, the amazing training you have, and I'm just blown away. You're using a nightstick on Damien Dark. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This looks amazing,
Adam. It's like this. Like, she looks fantastic. Like I said, the way she basically saved Oliver's life was more badass than I've seen her before. And just love it. Just love it.
Yeah, whatever you do for the spinoff, put her in this outfit.
And give her the same attitude.
Oh, definitely. I think that's not going to change. She might be more badass too because she's the last survivor of Earth. So yeah, it might motivate her even more. But I have nothing negative to say about this episode. It was fantastic. So I'm gonna echo your 10 out of 10 rating.
Perfect scores across the board.
Yeah, but I think that's gonna bring an end to this episode, Travis. It was definitely fun. It's definitely a fun time to be a DC fan now that the shows are all back. I can't wait till we continue, marching towards Crisis and the eventual spinoff. I can't wait to continue reviewing the final season of Arrow with you, and then moving forward into the spinoff, and of course, you'll be appearing on the Crisis episode, the crossover. All the co-hosts are going to be part of it, and then which will be a fun show, and then we're in talks about getting you on with Ryan and myself to do the Watchmen stuff. So there's that too, but definitely we'll get back together next week. For Arrow Season 8, Episode 2. But until then, we hope that our listeners enjoy this episode. And until next time, I mean, what's a good sign-off for an Arrow episode?
A crisis is coming, that's all I would say.
Until next time, keep your bow and arrow at the ready, because a crisis is coming.
Later, guys.
So long, everybody.